everybody. I'm Beatie Conrados, and welcome again to the Ask Beatie Show. And I want to wish everybody a very happy and healthy and less stressful new year. But the reality, my friends, is that we're still not out of the woods. There is still an uptick in the virus. People have issues and concerns, real life concerns about jobs, about health, about social relationships, about mental health. And so many people that I know, so many of my patients are concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to maintain a lifestyle, to pay their rent. For so many people, buying food. In fact, there was a piece, I believe it was in the New York Times a couple of days ago, where a policeman arrested a man who he saw stealing some food from a grocery store. And the nice thing about this story was that instead of arresting him, he actually bought the man food. And when he was talking to the man, you know, he was saying, look, I really wanted to be able to provide for my family, and I did not have the money. So this was a really good deed, I feel, that was done by the policeman. And here we're seeing also the mental health helplines are continuing to surge, which I think is a really positive thing, because what I've been saying, in fact, I can't even believe that today is the 327th Ask Beatie Show that I've been doing here on the Progressive Network. And what I have hope that I have been able to convince you is that life is way too challenging, way too complicated, and that we need to give ourselves permission and allow ourselves to reach out and ask for help when the tough really gets going. And we're seeing, and we're continuing to see a real spike in alcohol sales. In fact, alcohol sales have jumped, with spirits up 75%, wine up 66%. And this morning in the New York Times, I read that there has been a real overdose related to cardiac arrests. And in fact, they spiraled in April of 2020. And the report was saying that 74 people out of 100,000, I mean, it may not sound like a lot, but it is, had emergency medical calls to medical services, and that nationally more than 20%, this has been an increase in 20%. And you kind of wonder what is going on, you know, when people are overdosing. And of course, we have to look at what is going on politically. We have to look at what is going on economically. And of course, people's mental health. If you're concerned about paying your rent and buying food and contracting the virus, it can really, really take people to a very, very dark place. And now that we're in the midst of winter, you know, people are exercising less and eating more. And every week, you know, I'm trying to remind myself, and of course remind you, is that we really do need to accept the things that we cannot change. And the courage to change, the courage, the wisdom, the drive, the grit to change the things that we can. And of course, the wisdom to really, really know the difference. And every day, I think we all have to ask ourselves, what can we do today? We can't do anything about our history. We cannot do anything about yesterday. We cannot do anything about things that happened or did not happen even 5 minutes ago. But to every single day, we have an opportunity, some greater, some lesser opportunity, to make choices, to make very rational, concrete, conscious choices that are actually in our best interests. And of course, Gary Nell talks about this all the time, the importance of plant-based diets and fruits and vegetables and grains. and fish and nuts, and making sure that we are eating healthily, that we are interacting and socializing, which of course is so important given the fact that we really had a loneliness epidemic in this country. And hopefully things are going to be changing within the very, very near future, particularly when we find that the vaccine is going to be available to more and more people. It still, you know, seems to be very much a socioeconomic status issue. Who you know seems to be what is the driving force behind people who are able to actually receive the vaccine and people who need it and who are not yet. And of course, the importance of getting enough sleep and taking naps. And we've talked and talked over and over again about the importance of exercise and weight training and yoga and meditation and even just taking a nice warm shower or a bubble bath, anything at all that we can do to make our days more joyful and happy. And of course, you know, this is also something that I've talked about for a number of years, the importance of having supportive people in our life and looking, you know, not just once a year at who are the people that you are interacting with on a regular basis. Are they people who are supportive and respectful and really there for you? Or on the other hand, are these people who basically undermine you, who gaslight you, who in my world are people who I would consider to be toxic people? And unfortunately, sometimes that even includes friends and family. So if you're finding yourself in a world where your friends and your family are people who are really not people, who are there for you, people who at times actually make you crazy, you then need to make a decision about what you are going to do. Because, you know, I hear this from time to time from people: there are no good people in this world. Well, there are a lot of really good people in this world, and it's about really eliminating the people. I'm not talking about killing anybody, of course. That are not good for you, that do not add something really positive to you and to your life. You know, other things that I find to be very, very helpful is positive visualization. In fact, today I was just visualizing with my husband Jim just being on a beach and looking at the waves and taking in the sun. Now, the fact that we live in New York City, that is probably not going to be happening anytime soon. But it does make a difference to be able to visualize and to hope. And of course, hope in itself is not enough, but at least to be able to do things that are going to put you and your mindset in a much more positive state. And what about music and dancing and listening to music? Just a couple of days ago, you know, there was no sun, it was dark, and we turned on some beautiful, beautiful music and started to dance. And immediately I started to feel better and happier. And these little things are all things that we can do. They don't cost any money, and they can really make a huge difference in terms of our happiness and the quality of our life. And the other thing that I think that we need to think about more, not just maybe think about, but to think about doing more, is helping others and giving back. I think that one of the greatest rewards that I've had as a psychotherapist and a sex therapist now for over 35 years is having been able to help really thousands of people who in my normal day-to-day life I would never, ever, ever have met. And these people have added a richness, an emotional and psychological richness to my life and being able to help others has given me an amazing perspective on life. And sometimes I wonder, you know, who has gotten more, you know, out of the relationship, me as the psychotherapist and sex therapist, or the people who have trusted me and trusted me with their lives to try to help them. And, you know, I think it's a really important thing that when we do reach out, whether or not it's to a shut-in. And, you know, somebody that I was talking to a couple of days ago, a patient of mine, you know, she was saying that she had never gotten married and she had hoped that she would be able to have children. And the children were still a really important thing that she thinks about on a day-to-day basis. And I had suggested to her, there are so many children that would absolutely love and would benefit from being a little sister or a little brother to an adult who has so much to give emotionally. And there are all kinds of volunteer organizations who would welcome, and it's not just about giving money, who would welcome having relationships with people who really have a great deal to give emotionally. And when I started off in the social work world, even before I became, you know, a clinical social worker, I was a big sister. I was a big, big sister. And I remember how important that relationship was to me. I would visit, her name was Patty. Gee, it's many, many years ago. And I would visit her a few times a week and we would hang out. And it was an absolutely wonderful experience, not only for her, but for me as well. So that there are so many people out there, older people, single people, children, who would absolutely welcome your involvement in whatever kind of involvement that you would like to give. So again, think about, I mean, sometimes we get very, very much absorbed and invested in our own lives and in our own problems. So think about it. It may not be for you having a little sister or a little brother as a volunteer, but think about, you know, in what ways you would like to give back to others. You know, other things that I find to be very helpful are journaling. And there have been more purchases, apparently, of pets, particularly dogs, in the last year. And that's one of the great things about having a dog. We have a Cha-Cha, and Cha-Cha actually is a therapy dog. And I'll tell you that when patients were coming to my office, of course, nobody comes to my office any longer. All of my psychotherapy and sex therapy is now on Zoom. And I must say, it was not something that I thought I would ever get used to, but it is. It's amazing, you know, what we get used to when we don't have you know, a lot of options. And it was just wonderful how people would come in and maybe somebody was very depressed or anxious, and Cha-Cha would meet them at the door and would do her little dance. And the smile, the invariable smile that she would be able to put on people's faces. So think about it, you know, someone to help you feel better, and somebody and something for you to care for as well. And also, prior to the pandemic, I was someone who said, listen, now don't spend so much time in front of the computer and forget the Facebook and the texting and the Instagram. And I think we are so overboard when it comes to social media. Well, I want you to know that I have actually changed my mind, because these days, and actually it's these months, this is one of the only ways for so many people to feel connected. I haven't seen any of my girlfriends since March of 2020. And I really do look forward, oftentimes on a weekly basis, to connecting and talking about how people are actually doing. And at our synagogue in East Hampton, it's the Jewish Center of East Hampton, Rabbi Josh Franklin and myself, we have been doing emotional well-being discussions. Covering a number of different issues having to do with, what should we do and what are the things that we need to acknowledge and address and resolve to improve the quality of our emotional well-being. And it's been great. I mean, there are people who are zooming in. I mean, people who I never ever would have met, people from all over the country. We even had somebody who was from France who discovered us on on Zoom, and people are able to talk to one another in the chat rooms, and people are actually able to ask questions and interact, I feel, in a really, really meaningful way. And I think this should be something that churches and synagogues and all kinds of organizations should contemplate. So we're not just talking about the news and politics and finances and the market, but to really give people an opportunity to be able to connect in an emotional way where we always have something to look forward to. And that was something that Rabbi Franklin was talking about, the importance of giving people hope so that regardless of what's gone on or what has not gone on, that we always have something that we can look forward to. So think about this, because there are all kinds of courses and lectures and concerts now that we are able to have access to, on the internet. So yes, I've changed my mind about all of this, and I think that why not check it out? I think you are going to be very pleasantly surprised. Now, one of the things that I was really thinking about over the weekend, as we've started the new year, contemplating, what are we going to do to make sure or to try to ensure that we have a really good 2021? And it was a question of, and I was asking myself the question of how many people are really living their lives on their own terms? Or, in fact, are they living their lives with the shoulds from their parents, the shoulds from the media, the shoulds from their friends? And this morning, as I was preparing for the song, I thought that this would be a wonderful song to play to just remind us about living our life my way. And of course, this is Frank Sinatra, and Frank Sinatra's beautiful, beautiful lyrics of My Way. So let's take it in right now and we can sing along. My way is, are you doing it your way? And it's something I think that we all need to contemplate. As we live our lives, are we living our lives honestly? Are we living our lives authentically? I mean, there are people who just, you get on this roller coaster ride, this never, never ending ride that doesn't seem to stop. And I think it is so important for all of us to take the time. And I think that for a lot of people, that has actually happened with the pandemic, where we've been actually forced to stop and to reflect and reevaluate and reset. Because you know what happens is that life goes by very, very quickly. And maybe you're somebody who has really been on this ride for a very, very long, long time, and that the ride may no longer be working for you, or at least part of the ride may not be working for you. And it's like, okay, you know, am I living my life authentically? And if your answer is no, the question then becomes to really take a look at what parts of your life are really not working for you. Is it your job? Is it where you are living? Is it your friends? Is it your partner? Is it your family? And I think it's really important to write down all of these different things and to tackle one priority issue at a time, since we can't make changes. We can't make all the changes, at any given one time. And to begin to see, you know, is it a job? Am I in a job that I absolutely hate? And I've been in it because perhaps my parents thought this was the way I should be living my life professionally or economically. So I think that it is. I think it's important for all of us, and not just once a year, but many, many times a year, to take a very, very honest, quiet look at ourselves, at our lives, and begin slowly, slowly to figure out the changes that we want to make, you know, if any, so that just like in Frank Sinatra's song, that we're able to say to ourselves that we are living our lives my way. It does. It makes a very, very, very big difference, because it is so easy to get stuck in the shoulds of how we feel that other people believe we should be living our lives. You know, I know that there are a lot of people who think that, you know, we should have had children, or we should have gotten married, or we should have gotten divorced, or we should have moved to another place. And I think it is. I think it's very, very easy to get caught up in what other people believe and what other people think our life and our lifestyles and our relationships should be. And in the final analysis, my friends, it is not about what other people think. It is our finding our own center so that we can actually really be true to ourselves. I was reading a very, very interesting article this morning, and this is about Warren Buffett. Now, I don't know about you, whether you follow Warren Buffett at all, but I actually really like a lot of the things that Warren Buffett has to say about life. And I'm not really talking about, you know, his philosophy of money. In this article, the heading was, Warren Buffett says this is one simple habit that separates successful people from everyone else. So naturally, I was very interested to hear what he had to say. So as you know, billionaire Warren Buffett, who's the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, he's 87 years old, and he is still capturing the world's attention as the second richest person on the planet. And how has he actually done it? I think a lot of people are curious. How has he done it for all of these years? And actually, apparently, it's not so much about what he has done as it is about what he hasn't done. His commodity of all is time, and that is really true. How we use our time. Are we using our time well? So he simply mastered the art and practice of setting boundaries for himself, and I think that's a lesson that we should all take in. And this is why Buffett's quote remains a powerful life lesson, and this is the lesson. And you'll tell me what you think about it, that the difference between successful people and really successful people is that successful people say no to almost everything. And you might be wondering, what is that about? So whether he meant saying no in the investment sense is not so important. What is important is that his advice, in whatever context, can apply to anyone arriving at the crossroads of daily decision making in love, in relationships, also in work. Because for most ambitious people, we want to accomplish things, right? We are driven for results, doing more, learning things, getting promoted, and starting new ventures. But we also have our personal lives, and we can't ignore for optimum balance and happiness. And ambition in this sense can actually mean taking care of family. I mean, what else is more important than taking care of family, expanding our social circles, and pursuing hobbies and other interests? And that's when Buffett's advice is a bullseye to our conscience. We have to know what to shoot for, and that's figuring out what is important for us to simplify our lives. And it means saying no over and over again to the unimportant things flying in our direction every day, and remaining focused on saying yes to the few things that truly, truly matter. And again, figuring out what really matters to you. And you remember Steve Jobs. Well, he agreed, and he said that it was about focus. And people actually think that focus means saying yes to the thing that you've got to focus on. But according to Steve Jobs, that's not what it means at all. It means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that there are. You have to pick carefully. And he says, I'm actually as proud of the things that we haven't done as the things that we have done. And like Jobs and Buffett, it's hushing that loud voice in your head when it tempts you with yet another sexy proposition that might steer you off course. You say a resounding no when it asks, should I take this opportunity? It may never come around again. Sometimes the best course of action, and just really listen to this because I think this is so, so important and brilliant, that sometimes the best course of action is not taking any action at all. So Warren Buffett goes on and talks about 7 things successful people say no to every single day. And we should talk about this. They say no to opportunities and things that don't excite them, speak to their values, or further their mission in life. Number 2, they say no to superficial. And this is something I think that it is so easy these days to really get sucked into. They say no to superficial networking events in which people swap business cards and never hear from one another. And why is that? Because successful people don't network. Successful people don't network. What do? They build relationships. Number 3, they say no to spending time with uninspiring, critical, or negative people who drag them down. And that's when I talk a lot about evaluating the people in your life, your friends, your colleagues, your family, and eliminating toxic people, uninspiring, critical, or negative people who drag you down. After all, time is precious, and what we all need to do, and I have found this absolutely to be the case in my own life, is to choose a very minuscule circle of people who will energize you and challenge you to the better. So then looking at your own relationships, are you on board with this, or are you finding that you are wasting a lot of time networking with uninspiring people who really do not advance your mindset, your career, your emotional well-being in any way? Number four, they say no to overworking. Absolutely important, because, well, it's true that some successful people and many entrepreneurs put in 60 to 80 hours per week. Very, very successful people are not workaholics who neglect self-care and family. Very successful people recognize that if they can't take care of themselves, everything else suffers. You know, I'm treating a number of young women who actually happen to be in their late 20s, who are in the finance world. And I am so concerned. I am so concerned. They don't seem concerned at this point, but I'm very concerned that their days are 15-hour days, and there's virtually no time to eat. There's no time to exercise. There's really no time to sleep. There's no time for meaningful relationships or socializing. And we've been talking about this a lot in our sessions. And what they were trained at their schools, at Harvard, at Wharton, that in order to be, in quotes, successful, that this is what they need to do. And I think that it is so important that we all put into perspective and define for ourselves, what does it mean to be successful? Does it mean having a lot of money in your bank account? Does it mean working 60 to 80 hours per week? It's virtually impossible if you're spending all that time working that you're going to be able to really take care of yourself or have meaningful, not just relationships, but meaningful relationships with family and friends. And I think that in this country, and not just in this country, you know, success is defined in terms of dollars. And I think that we really do need to reflect and ask ourselves at the end of our lives, is that really how we want to look back at our lives and define success for ourselves? And this is also something Warren Buffett talks about a lot. You know, he says that the one most important thing in life when it comes to looking at our success is our relationships. So again, it may be that in this year you really want to take a second look and maybe a third look and check out within yourself how you define success. And maybe you need to do a little bit of maneuvering, because to find some balance in your life and to find love and to find closeness in your relationships, you're going to have to do a little bit of juggling, because in the final analysis, it is love and it is relationships that really matters. And certainly that is my definition of success. So something to definitely think about. Number five, they say no to doing all the work. And this comes down to one word, and that is delegation. And I was talking to a patient yesterday who has a small child. The little boy is 3 years old. And in the middle of the session, apparently her little boy and the father, they came into the house, and the little boy was wearing boots and there was mud all over the boots. And my patient said, "Oh my, I just cleaned the house. I just cleaned the living room." And I asked her, I said, "Well, what are you going to say to your little boy?" And it hadn't even dawned on her that she should actually say anything to her little boy. And I'm not talking about admonishing him,
about what I suggested to her. And I think it was a very strange concept for her to consider, since the little boy is only 3 years old, that she say to her young son, you know, mommy just cleaned the house. And why don't mommy and daddy and you, why don't we get some rags? Why don't we get some cloths? Why don't we get a mop? And together we can clean the floor together. Now, you might think that that is a bit much to be asking a three-year-old, and I'm a mom, and I don't think it is too much at all. I think that delegation within the family is also very, very important. And I know that we do not do our children any favors at all if we absolve them from taking some personal responsibility, whether or not they're three or whether or not they are 13. So I made that strong suggestion to my patient yesterday, and she was really taken aback. You know, how could I be suggesting that a three-year-old help her clean the floor that she just spent, hours trying to make look good and clean? And I suggested to her that this would be something very, very important for her little boy to learn. And that is to help the parents in the house in small ways, given, of course, the age of the child. So I'm going to see when I talk to her next week whether or not she was actually able to follow through with my homework assignment to her. So number six, what else do successful people do? They say no to giving the steering wheel of life to everyone else, to anyone else, and to everyone else. Another Buffett quote, he affirms this. He says, you gotta keep control of your time, and you can't unless you say no. You can't let people set your agenda in life, which is why I love the Frank Sinatra song, Doing It My Way. So when you think about your own life, are you keeping control as best as you possibly can of your time? And are you letting other people set your agenda in life? And if you are, and you're probably going to have to honestly admit this to yourself, that this is not in your best interest, that this is not really working well for you. So, of course, the question then becomes, what are you planning to do about it so that you can begin to finally take control of your life and not allow the shoulds of your family, the shoulds of your partner, the shoulds of society, the shoulds of the media control who you are and how you want to live your life? Number seven, successful, very successful people, they say no to people pleasing. This is something that is so important. Successful people don't neglect their deepest wishes and desires to accommodate and yield to others' wishes and desires. And I want to say that again because this is a theme that very, very often comes up in my psychotherapy practice, where people are so busy wanting to be, in quotes, loved, that they try and they really are pretty much unsuccessful in their efforts to constantly people please. So very successful people, they don't neglect their deepest wishes and desires to accommodate and yield to others' wishes and desires. You know, I had a patient last week and I was talking to her about doing what was in her best interest. And she was really taken aback. She said, you know, that sounds like you're wanting me to be selfish. And that was not at all. That was not at all what my intention was. But it was looking very, very honestly at your life, at my life, at our life, and asking ourselves as we navigate our days, is whatever it is I am doing, is it in fact something that is good for me? Or on the other hand, am I engaging in behaviors? Am I engaging in relationships that are mostly and typically destructive, self-destructive, and self-sabotaging? And that is something, you know, I ask myself, and that is something that I really want you to ask yourself and be very, very honest about it. And if you are someone who has been spending most of your life or part of your life people-pleasing and not either not being aware or not taking care of your own needs, then this is the beginning of a new year. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things of being able to wake up every day, is that we have the capability. We have the capability of making choices, of changing our behaviors. And for those of you who've been listening to the Ask Beattie Show all of these years, you know what my mantra is. My mantra is acknowledging, addressing, and resolving issues and things in our lives, things that are absolutely not working, and things that are not in our best interest. In fact, yesterday was Sunday, and I oftentimes will see people, of course, on Zoom, patients who are in a state of crisis. So yesterday, I was talking to a patient of mine, and she has recently been diagnosed with a pretty, pretty serious medical condition. And she has been interviewing surgeons, and she's been interviewing other doctors to try to figure out what the best course of action and what the best course of treatment is going to be for her. So her final appointment is with a very famous endocrinologist. And he wrote her an email, and he said that he would be able to schedule a Zoom meeting with her this week, this very week, January the 4th, the week of January the 4th. But if it was not urgent, and there is great urgency in this particular woman's situation, it's either going to be surgery or it could be a very dire situation moving forward that she's going to have to deal with. Or if it was not urgent, the surgeon, the endocrinologist said in the email, then the consultation would not be until the middle of February. So we're talking about this yesterday, and I said to her, this is something that is really, really urgent, right? For you to know what course of action you are going to be planning to take. So what do you think she said to me? She said, well, he has a very, very busy schedule, and I don't want to hurt his feelings, and I don't want to put any pressure on him at all, and I don't want him to be upset with me. So maybe I should continue to wait for another 4 to 6 weeks to have the consultation. Now, this is somebody, unfortunately, who has rarely ever done anything that is in her best interest. And she has been so upset about her recent diagnosis. And I asked her to promise me, this was her homework yesterday afternoon, I asked her to promise me that she was going to send him an email, and I had her do it actually during our session. telling the doctor, telling the endocrinologist that it was in fact urgent. It was emotionally and psychologically and also physically and medically urgent, and that she would appreciate his offer in having a consultation with him this week and not wait until the middle of February. So I'm asking you the same kinds of questions. Are you being good to yourself? Are you taking care of your needs, or are you putting yourself and are you putting your needs on the back burner because you want to be liked and because you want to people please and because you probably have gotten into a mode for many, many years where you put yourself at the bottom of the list of your priorities rather than the top of the list of your priorities. So I want you to think about that, and you can always change the priorities. You can always put yourself in a much, much higher priority place. So is there anything going on right now in your life where you feel that you are not doing what is in your best interest and that some changes are definitely, definitely necessary? And maybe you need a helping hand, whether or not it's me or a friend or a therapist, to help you gain a better perspective, so that you are then going to be able to navigate your life or navigate a particular situation in your life right now that is good for you, that is in your best interest. You know, and by the way, you know, I don't say this sufficiently on the Ask Beaty show, but initially, when I began the Ask Beaty show here on the Progressive Radio Network, I had thought it was going to be a call-in counseling show. I have hosted many, many call-in counseling shows on mainstream radio over the years. So we can make this into a call-in counseling show. And beginning next week, I mean, you may want to leave me some emails or leave messages on the Progressive Radio Network voicemail. I should give you that voicemail number. It is 862-800-6805. And the call-in number here on the Ask Beaty Show is 888-874-4888. So maybe for this year, you may decide that during the live show, of course, you can always download the show in the Progressive Radio Network archives, that you are going to actually want to call me with questions or concerns that you have about your life, your professional life, your relationship, your sex life. And we can begin to actually talk together on air, you know, during the show, so that you're not going to have to just be listening, but that you're going to have another person, a second ear, that hopefully is going to be able to help you, you know, get a new perspective on whatever issue it is that you are trying to tackle. Gosh, there were so many things today. There were so many other subjects that I wanted to talk about. I want to just quickly mention the Hillary Baldwin situation. I don't know how many people have been following the story that Hillary Baldwin, who is Alec Baldwin's wife, you know, started to tell people a number of years ago that she was born in Spain and she had a Spanish accent, off and on. And unfortunately, none of this was true. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I think that we really need to stop beating up Hillary Baldwin. And rather than beat her up, ask the question, you know, what is it about Hillary Baldwin? What is it about some of us that are really wanting to be somebody else other than who we are. And maybe we're not feeling all that good about ourselves. Maybe the pressure of being Alec Baldwin's wife, having five children, you know, being in the media, having people look at every single move that we're making, perhaps some of those things propelled her to want to be someone other than who she is. And I think that perhaps if we look at ourselves honestly, I think maybe all of us at different times in our lives have stretched the truth a bit. So let's stop beating up Hillary Baldwin and let's find it in our hearts to have a little bit of compassion for her. Well, everybody, I cannot believe it. It is 3:55 on Monday, January the 4th. The Ask Beatty Show is come and gone, and I want to leave you with my two weekly messages. And of course, the first message is to do everything that you can possibly do, to do things that are in your best interest, and to really find it in your heart and in your head to love yourself. And of course, secondly, we all need to be doing a much, 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 much better job to find it in our hearts to love one another. And the song, of course, that I end the Ask Beatty Show every week, which is a beautiful song that I think that we can all really take in and enjoy and appreciate it, is that the world needs now is love, sweet love. So goodbye, everybody. Happy New Year. And I will talk with you next Monday.